you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month?
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. Kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month with nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Green Mountain Transit is looking for full-time bus drivers with excellent customer service skills, a great driving record, and a positive attitude. GMT offers a competitive salary and exceptional benefits, 100% paid premium for health, dental, vision, and prescription plans. To apply for a full-time bus driver position, go to ridegmt.com and click on the Careers tab. That's ridegmt.com. GMT is an equal opportunity employer and committed to a diverse workforce.
The Dutch Mill Restaurant brings home cooking to a whole new level. People rave about their breakfast, and it's served all day, 7:30 to 2, 7 days a week. They use the freshest ingredients and create dishes that are amazing. Looking for catering for your family reunion, party, or wedding? The Dutch Mill offers a wide variety and selection of menus. When you go out to eat, pick a place that has great food. Home cooking is always the rule at the Dutch Mill, Route 7 in Shelburne.
It's football season, and what better pairing than with a cold Bud Light? Its superior drinkability and refreshing flavor makes it the world's favorite light beer. Enjoy a cold Bud Light during all your favorite NFL games this season. Catch all the action at McGillicuddy's in Essex, Williston, and Colchester. Have brunch 9 to noon at their Essex and Colchester location only. Join them all season for Sunday game specials, Bud Light specials, half-price wings noon to 5, half-price burgers after 5 p.m. Also find Bud Light at Essex Discount Beverage. Please enjoy responsibly.
101.3 ESPN weather.
Saturday continues under partly to mostly cloudy skies. Still a chance at an isolated shower or two. High temperatures climb into the low to mid 70s. Tonight into Sunday, we're mostly cloudy. Small chance at passing showers. It stays warm overnight with lows near 64. Sunday, scattered rain mainly before 1 in the afternoon. After that, we're partly sunny and warm with highs near 80. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 66 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
We are Sports WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN, your official Red Sox station.
Sophomore goaltender Stefanos Likas worked an impressive 33-save shutout, leading the Vermont Catamounts to a season-opening 3-0 victory last night over Colorado College at the Gut. It was the Cats' first win over Colorado College after losing their previous three meetings, the last being in 1996. The Cats and Tigers brought it again tonight. The puck drops at the Gut at 7 o'clock. Local high school football last night, Hartford nipped BFA St. Albans 24-23. St. Johnsbury blasted Brattleboro 53-20. CVU beat South Burlington 20-6. And Essex blanked Colchester 20-0. And Milton edged Linden 46-42. In local high school girls soccer, Colchester, CVU, Montpelier, Burlington, and BFA Fairfax all victorious. And in high school field hockey, Rice and Spalding both earning wins. Major League Baseball division series last night in the American League. It was the Astros beating the Red Sox 8-2. The win moved the Stros up 2-0 in the best of three series. Game three will be set for tonight, or actually Sunday. Same as the Yankees. Cleveland got by the Yankees yesterday, 9-8 in 13 innings. But things looking early, good early for the Yanks on this home run from Mr. Bird. This is how it sounded right here at 101.3 ESPN.
3-2 to Bird. There goes Didi. Pitch is swung on, lifted in the air, right field. Bruce back. If it's fair, it's got a chance, and that one is fair, and it's gone. A towering home run just inside the pole. Greg Bird will touch them all. A two-run homer, and it's 8-3. Wow.
And that's where I began partying at East Hawks, 194 Main Street, across from the divorce court in Burlington, but I woke up with a miserable hangover. National League, Cubs blank the Nationals as Chicago takes a 1-0 lead. Best of three series. Next game, 5 o'clock. You can hear it right here. And the Dodgers outslug the Diamondbacks 9-5 as Los Angeles takes a 1-0 lead there. We'll have that game for you today at 8:30. Get ready. Sports Saturday is on deck. Jeff just put on his headphones and Bernie's just wandering around aimlessly. I'm Dave Harner, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Here we go.
Warning. The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sapliti.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
We interrupt this program to bring you this special news bulletin. Good morning. I'm David Hunter reporting. Today's question, where is Taft's Corners? Let's go live now to our out-of-town correspondent, Elmo. So, Elmo, where is Taft's Corners?
Taft's Corners is in Williston.
Elmo, we thank you.
Reporting live from Williston, I'm Elmo.
This has been a special report brought to you by Romanto's, Taft's Corners in Williston. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
I do not even know how to begin. I guess we're living the dream and taking you with us this is Sports Saturday. I am going to have to change all of my marketing at the station for Romanto's. I'm just going to say that right now. You are no longer allowed to go anywhere near any of my ads for Romanto's, Dave Hunter. I am making that official right now.
Everybody knows it. Now it's in Romanto.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. And don't forget the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. You can text us anytime, any minute through the next 2 hours. Well, Bernie and I is in the big seat with me today, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening today?
A lot. Oh, I don't even know where to begin. Like, I don't know whether to chuckle or be sad or what to do. All I know is I was at least able to sleep because the Yankees gave me a great gift last night.
Well, we are absolutely going to talk about those Yankees and the manager of the New York Yankees, Joe Girardi.
Who you love.
We're going to go into that as well in a little while. But what a show we have today, folks. We are going to talk Yankees and New York Giants and all New York sports with the Bergen Records' Tara Sullivan. She's going to join us live here at 10:22. The Red Sox are down 0-2. Red Sox fans, it's so funny about the Red Sox fan. Last night, after I had a soccer game last night, after the game, I went into work a little bit, and one of my employees, who's a huge Red Sox fan. Now, the Red Sox had already lost 8-2.
Again.
He's just trashing the Yankees. Just absolutely trashing me because of the Yankees blowing the 8-3 lead. And I'm looking at him like, your Red Sox are down, lost 8-2 today. What are you talking smack to me for? I don't understand it.
Well, and it's interesting you say that one of my neighbors was at a gathering last night, and he's a Yankee fan, and he's with a bunch of Red Sox fans, and he thought everybody had become a Cleveland Indian fan just like that because he wants to see the Yankees lose.
Yeah.
Or they want to see the Yankees lose. And it's just, it's interesting that love-hate love-hate rivalry that we have.
Well, this guy, he was just giving it to me. And I looked at him. I was like, why are you talking? Like, you shouldn't say a word to
me. He should have been getting the orders ready.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, he's fired now. So we're going to fine. We're going to talk Red Sox with our good buddy from WEEI, Chris Filani. He's going to join us at 10:40. And then get your fantasy football questions ready for 11:40 because Jake Ken, our fantasy football guru, is going to join us to help us get your week. It's going to be week 5. The Giants haven't won a game yet. So we're going to get your week 5
picks ready
to go.
Neither is my fantasy team, so it's the same.
I got my first win last week with fantasy, nice. So that was good.
Hey, do you believe in karma?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So as you guys know, I am not a Yankee fan.
No.
Huh, really?
I know you find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
But I have to say, sometimes I can be a little sarcastic.
No.
I know, but
stop it.
But, like, on Tuesday night when the Yankees were playing the Twins.
Yep.
You know, Jeff, I was trying to actually be supportive.
You were. I have to give you a lot of credit.
And there's one other guy that I'm not going to mention that I really like.
So did you have a list of maybe nervous Yankee fans?
I had two. You and this one
okay,
other guy.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And
such compassion, by
right.
the way.
Right, and I was like, hey, you know, after the first inning, I'm like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
Work through, got a nice win. Because I've always said it would be a lot of fun to have the Red Sox and the Yankees play
Agreed.
In the next round.
Yep.
You know, great for everybody.
Yeah.
Not good for sleep. Not
nope.
good, you know, not good for the barring and the jabbing
right,
and
right.
all that kind of stuff, but still fun. So, you know, that guy's on cloud 9, and, you know, now it's Thursday. Chris Sale's getting lit up.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly comes in, bases are loaded, and it's, what, I don't know, 6-1, 7-1. And don't I get a text from this guy? Got him right where you want him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Here we go. I'm like, oh, I tried to be nice, and now you're killing me. So I truly believe that because of that, that's why the Yankees lost on Friday.
Well,
I believe in that karma.
I'd like to be able to blame your friend for that. But I can't blame your friend because you know who cost the game yesterday? Was our good buddy Joe Girardi.
Oh, will you stop?
And we've had these conversations numerous times. Joe Girardi and his binder, and he's got over there.
Against Minnesota, he managed a great game.
Against Minnesota, okay, because that's the first time in Joe Girardi's career as a Yankees manager that he actually just managed the game to win the game.
Right.
That's what he did in that game.
And I
totally agree with you. He did not manage that game last night to win the baseball game.
What do you mean? He pulled CeCe at the right time. He's getting grief for that.
I'm not going to even go to the CeCe Sabathia pull because I'm not going to give him grief on pulling CeCe Sabathia. It's 8-3. He had one out. I think CeCe had just given up a walk. That's the point of the game. When CeCe, if you watch the Yankees the way and I watch them, in CeCe starts, when he gets to be around 80 pitches, 90 pitches, that's kind of when CeCe's limit is up. I get that. He had a bullpen that he feels strong enough to go to, fine. You can argue whether he should have taken him out or not.
How did he lose the game?
He lost the game last night for not trying to get a replay of the foul ball. And I'll tell you what the problem is here.
I have a cut from Joe.
Go ahead. You can play that cut, but that cut. We're going to talk about that cut. We're going to talk about what he said because it's a ridiculous thing that he said. Just own the fact you made a mistake. The fact of the matter here is as soon as his catcher stood up, Gary Sanchez, and pointed and said, "That's a foul ball." He struck the guy out. The ball was tipped off the bottom of the bat. He caught the ball. They could have been in bed last night.
Can we hear the cut?
Go ahead.
I'm not really sure why it happens. It's usually the last replay, and you're at the mercy of the telecast what replays
Stop.
You get.
That means
but it's
nothing.
True. If he doesn't know.
Okay, then let me ask you this question. But he decides to. Lose it here.
We didn't
know
the replay that showed he was.
I don't believe that. I saw the replay. You could see the replay. And as soon as your catcher stands up and says, "Challenge it," you challenge it. Gary Sanchez knew. And I'll tell you something else. And I'm not just mad at Joe Girardi. I'm upset at the umpire for assuming that he got hit. If someone's going to get hit in the hand, if a baseball player gets hit with a fastball in the hand, he's not just going to stand back and do nothing. It's not that he's just going to stand there and hold the bat.
Maybe he's really tough.
Tough Chisenhall, guy. I think it was Chisenhall, I believe, was at the plate. Had no reaction. He actually stood there confused on what exactly had just happened.
Yeah,
there.
He got hit.
He did not get
he
hit.
He was dazed. He
did
was
not
confused.
Get hit. He did
it
not
hurt.
Get him. Well, I know you're just being facetious here because you're looking at Dave and like I'm getting him going. But it's terrible. And not in that and the thing is that the replay was so conclusive that that's the game. He decides not, and I just can't fathom why he wouldn't challenge
got
that.
Got another cut.
Go ahead. What's he going to
do? There was nothing that told us that he was not hit on the pitch.
Untrue.
By the time we got the super slow-mo, we were a minute beyond a minute.
As soon as your catcher, as soon as your catcher, as soon as Gary Sanchez stands up and points to say, "I know this," you've got to say we're going to look at sixth inning. That's the game there. But what do you hold on to that for anyway? And then his excuses.
Hold on.
His excuses. You have the quote where he says he didn't want the pitcher to lose his momentum because that's the catcher in him. If Joe Girardi came out and said, "You know what, guys, I blew that. I came out." If he came out there, I would be praising him this morning. But to come out and give those types of excuses is ridiculous, especially after Gary Sanchez stood up and said, pointed to say, immediately got a challenge.
But you only have 30 seconds, and if he doesn't have the feed,
he needs a translator.
I don't want to hear about not having the feed.
I want to go through and I'm not doing this to be the sarcastic fool that I can be with you.
Sure.
I'm like, let's go through this systematically. You have 30 seconds to do that. If he doesn't have that feed, which he said he didn't, he can't do that.
If you get hit in the hand by a 97 mile an hour fastball, it actually hits your hand. You do not stand there You do not stand there like Superman. Okay, like no big deal, and still hold the bat and look around for a second. Like, what just happened here? That's what happened. Gary Sanchez knew exactly where that ball hit. Gary Sanchez
doesn't need the tip of his batter's glove.
It hit the bottom of that bat, and if you watch the replay, you don't even need super slow-mo to see that. You don't even need it. And I'm just saying, now, if Chisenhall dropped the bat quickly, was wringing his hands, then fine. I didn't see it. You know, we didn't make that decision. Fine. That's not what happened. And the umpire is right there as well and assumes as well. And that's, and again, that's more poor umpiring, officiating in Major League Baseball and any of the major sports we have. We know that there's been an issue with officiating. But again, you have replay to be able to fix this. Joe Girardi had an opportunity to do that, and he didn't do it last night. And I can't understand why he wouldn't do that. And that's what bothers you as a Yankee fan. Like, I will say this. If you're a Yankee fan, like I am and like Dave is, like I said this a long time ago, we're playing with house money. The Yankees are playing with house money. This year, I mean it.
Well, we should be going back to have two games in New York.
I agree. Let me finish. It's disappointing to see a decision made like that, not to at least try to challenge that, and it turns out to really be the difference in the game. That's disappointing. It's sad to think that. Now, there were other plays that happened. Ronald Torres getting picked off at second base in an inning that they could have taken the lead on was
tough.
That
was a great throw, man.
That was a great throw, but you can't get picked off there.
I know, but still a great throw.
That's the only thing he's done wrong all year.
I agree, but you can't get, you can't let that happen there. It just can't happen. But the point is,
are you giving up?
No, I'm not giving up.
Right. You should.
Nah, we're not going to give up yet.
I'm going to tell you about 1978 again.
Ugh.
The point here is that you're grumpy and it's great.
Well, interesting. It's so great.
Here's an interesting thing that happened last night as well. Aroldis Chapman, I saw this on Bleacher Report this morning. Aroldis Chapman on Twitter liked, somebody had put out there that they had hoped that the Yankees don't renew Girardi's contract, and Aroldis Chapman tweeted he liked that. That's not good.
That does not look. No, that's not good.
We're going to break this down a lot more. We at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about baseball. The Red Sox obviously down 0-2 as well. The Red Sox have not looked good in the first two games. But as we know, baseball
Houston's
is...
lineup is ridiculous.
It is good, and they're really good in Houston.
How many home runs did they hit in these two games?
Well, I mean, Altuve hit three in one game.
Yeah,
right? They are a good baseball team. You know. But again, going back to Fenway Park, we're going to break that down as well. On the National League side, I'll tell you, if you're a Washington National fan right now, I mean, you got to be shaking your head. I mean, you have to win this series if you're a Nationals fan. You have to. That's a team that needs to win a playoff series. And L.A. gets it done last night, 9-5 against Arizona. So, interesting series so far, I think. I think we're going to see a lot better out of the AL East teams that are down. I think the Red Sox will win Game 3. I'm hoping the Yankees find a way to win Game 3
as
well.
With Doug Fister pitching? Come on.
Listen, Doug Fister's arguably been one of the best Red Sox pitchers in the second half. He's been one of the best Red Sox pitchers in the second half.
He has been so inconsistent, like all of their pitching in the second half. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, but in terms of what consistency is, he's, for the exception of maybe the last start of the season he had, he's been phenomenal for that team.
I know, but it's just, you know, hey, like Kevin Millar said, just don't let him win tomorrow.
Hey, and big props out to the station here, 101.3 ESPN. Ryan Russillo was live here last night. He was here all day downtown. Really good job by our station, Brady Farkas, Arnie and Rich, and everyone that's associated with our station to bring Ryan in here. If you don't know, Ryan is a UVM grad, and it was neat to see him last night. Our UVM Hockey Cats had their first win, and Ryan dropped the puck before. I mean, just a great moment for our, not only for our community, our University of Vermont, but also for our station. So great job last night with all that. Great stuff.
Yeah, great stuff for Catamount Country, and Fall teams are winding down and getting ready for the winter.
Hey, my boy Jack just texted us here. As a former catcher himself, Girardi should definitely be listening to what his catcher on the field is saying. No excuse. Go for the challenge. Jack, I'm with you, my brother. I'm with you. Thanks for the text. Keep texting us at the Town
Fair Tire text line. Not going to change now. You're still down 2-0.
Be quiet, Bernie. We're going to talk to our good buddy Tara Sullivan of the Bergen Record. Sit back, relax. We got a long way to go, folks. We'll be right back.
We did not have the replay that showed he was not hit.
No matter how you say it, we are sports. 101.3 ESPN.
This is my favorite show.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, I love it. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Okay, stop. We got plenty.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. My good buddy, Bernie Siplicki, riding shotgun with me this morning.
You settled down after that first segment, or are you still worked up?
I've got a long way to go. I have a lot of frustration in me, man. That is just, last night was just disappointing. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation, or text us at the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number. 802-655-6672 if you want to join in our conversation. What were you going to say?
I don't know. I just, you know, it's like I want to give you a hard time about it, about being down 0-2, but the Red Sox stink just as much right now.
Yeah, you know, interesting about the Red Sox. You know, so
How about the different, like, again, you said all year, and I hate giving you credit
sure.
for it. Losing David Ortiz is bad. Yeah. You know, and look at the difference in these first two games for
well,
the Red Sox.
Let me ask you this question. So one of the best sports television shows, in my opinion, is on TV is on the Baseball Network. It's called High Heat. It's with Chris Russo, Mad Dog Russo. It's a great, great show. If you like baseball, it's great. And I know that some people don't like Mad Dog, but I really like the Mad Dog. And you know, and he hates the Yankees, so me saying that is probably shocking. But it's a great show. Anyway, he had a guy on earlier in the week. It was called the Panic Meter he created. So what it was saying was all the teams that were in the playoff, there was a percentage of like who is like most anxious because they need to win. And he had the Red Sox at a lower panic meter than the Yankees, which I thought was kind of shocking because I felt like going into this season, the Red Sox were being built to win a World Series. And he had the Yankees as more desperate than the Red. I guess that's what it's called, the desperate meter or something. But the point is that to me, I feel as if the Red Sox going into the season were much more of a favorite than the Yankees would be. But the Red Sox again, I feel like as a Red Sox fan, I mean I think the future's still bright with Boston. They got a lot of young players and all, but they are built to win now. So this is kind of got to be a bit disappointing if you're a Red Sox fan. They're not done yet. I mean, a long way to go. We all know, remember 2004. If you're a Yankee fan, you hate to bring that up. But,
right.
You know,
I mean, again,
but it's just, not over yet, but you just never know. But, I mean, it's got to be a bit disappointing, correct?
Right. And it is disappointing. And, you know, you lose a Hall of Fame bat.
Yeah.
And you don't replace that pop. And, you know, again, is it house money when you make six trades for this year like the Yankees did to position themselves to be successful like they are right now?
No, it's absolutely house money because, you know, you're solidifying where you're at. I mean, this team is still built. They brought in younger players. But we'll talk about that. We have Tara Sullivan. Is she on now? We got her. Okay,
right.
Now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, we have our good buddy from the Bergen Record, Tara Sullivan, joining us. Tara, good morning.
Good morning. My apologies. The phone was on the charger.
No problem at all. So, Tara, listen, let's get into this because we don't have a whole lot of time with you, and I know you're busy. Yeah. So last night, rough game for the Yankees in Cleveland. I have to ask, what do you think Joe Girardi was thinking?
I wish I knew, right? I don't even think the explanation was very illuminating. I think it's a brain cramp. I really do. I think he just didn't think it would come back to haunt you. They had such a commanding lead. I don't know, but I don't think there is an acceptable explanation for it. He obviously should have challenged the call.
You know, Bernie here and I were talking last segment, and we gave Girardi a lot of props for the way he managed the game against mm-hmm. Minnesota. He pulled Severino really early. He managed it well. The bullpen pitched great, and the Yankees found a way to come back and win. But to me, that might be the first time in Joe Girardi's whole career that he actually just managed a game to win a baseball game. That it wasn't based on numbers and based on matchups and based on that binder that he keeps pulling out. And last night was a perfect example of
You know, you just said it, like brain cramp. How do you have a brain cramp when your catcher basically stands up and says, you need the challenges. I know what just happened here.
It's very, very hard to explain. I mean, you're right. Everything he touched turned to gold the other night. And really, you know, in that regard, I think he deserves so much credit. The one strength I think Girardi consistently has had is managing a bullpen. I don't think that's something we could kill him on. I think he's been pretty good at that. But this time, this thing last night, it just, and the fact that it came back to haunt them in the way it did, it just opens him up to every ounce of criticism because it opened the floodgates. You know, that's what it did. It let the best offense in baseball back into the game, and the Yankees were shut down the rest of it. The fact that they ended up wasting a game in which they got to Kluber, I mean, that's not going to happen again, right? I mean, you feel like they had beaten the odds by doing that, and then it still ended up wasted. So what a missed opportunity, really, for the Yankees, and what a bad night for Girardi.
And the real question is, if the boss was still around, would Girardi still be the manager this morning?
It's a fair question. I was just reading a bunch of stuff this morning. Mike DiCaro, who I love at the Post, and my own colleague Bob Clappish at the Record. I mean, it's a fair question. You know, when Joe Torre didn't do anything about the midges 10 years ago in Cleveland, it ultimately cost him his job, right? I mean, the fact that Girardi works for a different Steinbrenner, he'll survive this. But if it were George, no, I wouldn't be surprised at all if this would have been a fireable offense in George's mind.
Yeah, but how about, you know, Chapman following up the tweet and liking the tweet that said Girardi shouldn't be renewed? How does that play into the clubhouse for an elimination game tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sure they'll be asked about it. I mean, I think clubhouses are pretty good at knowing which opinions carry a ton of weight and which don't. You know, Chapman has always been kind of a unique, you know, about me kind of a guy. And so it'll be interesting, though. That's the thing. It opens the doors to all these conversations, right? Because of what Girardi did. Like, he just left himself open to so much speculation. I don't think the rest of the clubhouse is going to revolt on Girardi. I think they really do like the way he manages the team for the most part. And this year in particular, like, the whole mood around that team has been lighter and more enjoyable. I think Girardi likes the young vibe and that kind of thing, a couple of veterans, and, you know, not having the big-time stars like A-Rod and those personalities to deal with, you know. So I wouldn't expect a clubhouse revolt or anything like that.
Do you think, unless the Yankees find a way to get this thing back to Game 5, do you expect that to be the last game that CC pitches for the New York Yankees?
I would think so. What do you guys think? I mean, it seems like that's the trend, right? They're moving toward younger, 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 younger. And I don't, just even reading between the lines of CeCe, I don't think he was thrilled to come out of that game when he did yesterday. What was he at? 70-something pitches. And, you know, sometimes CeCe is better, you know, he kind of works up that sweat and gets better as the game goes on. Who knows? I mean, it's all second guessing today because of the way they lost the game. But no, I wouldn't be surprised if that was Sabathia's last game.
Do you think the Yanks have a chance to, you know, at least get one in this thing? I mean, do you feel like this is a tough loss? I mean, I feel like they keep answering the question all year whenever they've been through something like this, a tough loss. They've always bounced back. Do this team have what it takes to bounce back against a team as loaded as Cleveland?
I mean, to get one win, maybe. But, you know, as I just looked at the statistics, you're asking them to hang a three-game losing streak on a team that, what, lost five of its last 40 games of the year?
Yeah.
Something absurd, right?
They're due.
It's a lot to ask. You know, maybe they get the one because this team, of all the characteristics this Yankee team has, and we saw it in game one of this series, you know, is that we're never out of a game. So I think that does translate to we're never out of a series either. And they're gonna go into it as just one game, win one game. But, I mean, winning three in a row is going to be a heck of a tall order, I think, against an Indians team that is really, really good.
All right, Tara, now that we've tried to console Jeff about, his Yankees, I need you to console me about our Giants. Help me out.
I don't think I have the words. I don't know. What can I tell you? You know, I don't think Eli's done. I think he's proven that across the last couple games. It's a shame it's going to get wasted. I think the defense, I don't quite know what the problem is in that personnel is so similar to last year. They're just not playing well. They're not tackling well. They're not stopping the run. They're not meeting the point of attack. Eli Apple seems to be in a little bit of a sophomore slump. I don't know if he anticipated that. Wayne Gallman, like, I can't help but wonder, why did they hand the job to Perkins so easily? You know, what if this kid, it just seems to me it's great that he'll get some playing time now, but why was he not used at all in the first couple games? I mean, the questions are everywhere with the Giants. And honestly, for me, most of them fall on the head coach.
And I mean, my biggest question is, why do we still have our punter? I know he's Odell's buddy, but this is two games in a row that have been crucial, and we still have him. It's like, it just drives me crazy.
It's a tough call, because I know what you're saying. You could do kind of that Parcells thing, right? Wake the entire room up and cut somebody. Like, wake them up. And that's kind of what Parcells would do back in the day, and, you know, make sure that everybody sort of snaps out of it. But, you know, there's only 32 of those guys in the league, and I think they just truly believe he's so young and that he's just in a slump. You know, he's been a really good punter. So they're not willing to let he'd be snapped up in a heartbeat. I don't know about the Odell's buddy thing. I mean, Odell has a lot of friends on the team. You're right, they're friends for sure since college. But, I don't know if it would have helped. I don't know if complacency is part of the problem with this team. If they thought, I remember writing that as the season was starting. You know, does this group kind of understand you don't pick up where you left, you know, where you left off? You have to start all over again. And results prove that, you know, maybe that is part of it. They just thought they would pick up where they left off last year.
Tara, what do you make of Odell Beckham coming out and saying something about he had talked to one of the cornerbacks of Tampa and he knew and the Tampa Bay knew what was coming? Not that they did a very good job of stopping it, Tampa Bay, but I mean, you know, they knew what was coming. I mean, what's your take on McAdoo? I mean, is he?
Yeah. I think there is a lot of predictability to the Giants offense myself. And it obviously was an issue last year, even though they were winning, right? Like, we made these big questions about the same personnel being in there all the time. But some of that was, I think, a function of who their best 11 players were last year. It has been mixed up a bit this time around. But you do hear guys saying, like, when the Giants line up in certain route combinations, that defenses know what's coming. Like, and that's not, I think even Sterling Shepard had done a post-game radio interview and sort of hinted at the same thing, and that was prior to Odell saying it. Now, obviously, McAdoo and the offensive coordinator, Mike Sullivan, they laugh that off. They think that's just defenders trying to get in your head and saying, you know, saying, oh, I knew what was coming. But I don't know. I think there's a little smoke to it. You know, there's a little fire to that smoke, I guess is how I should put it, because it's not, I think I've heard it from announcers and other people as well who watch the games a lot, that the Giants aren't fooling anybody this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we can go on and talk about that some more. I mean, I'll sit there and watch a Giants game, and I'll make the play call. I'll know exactly what's coming, but maybe that's just frustration on my end. And you know, I want to go back to the, you know, the Brad Wing and the shake, the you know, shake. Got to do something to rattle the cage. You know, whether it's Flowers, sitting him. I know the Giants brought in 10 offensive linemen for tryouts yesterday. Did anything come of that?
No. Well, I mean, quite honestly, you really have to be fair there. Flowers has not been the issue. He's the only one who hasn't been hurt all year. And, like, he's not even playing the worst. There's so many other injuries down that line now. They've forced the shuffling that a lot of us maybe wanted to see at different times before. So that, I mean, Fluker had to play the whole game, and Richburg is in the concussion protocol. So, I mean, there's just been a lot of shuffling along there anyway. I don't know. I mean, the rattle the cage, I don't know if it works or not. I mean, but I guess I understand the fans' perspective is you got to do something, right? McAdoo is such a even strain kind of a guy. He doesn't show a lot. And some of his catchphrases, you know, we have to play complimentary football, and we have good men of character and integrity in the locker room. Like, you just want to kind of tear the hair out a little bit because it doesn't, you know, it's not helping, I guess, is the problem. And I get it from a football perspective, stay even keel, but you're 0-4. I mean, you're 0-4. How about that? I mean, who thought that? They're playing this 2-0-4 teams today, and meanwhile, the Jets are 2-2.
Right.
Yeah, the Giants tickets are easy to get, and the Jets ones are unbelievably hard to get
now.
That's one coming. Yeah, and that's the thing that, like, just kind of gets me. You're a quarter of the way through the season, and you're just kind of going status quo. Well, before you know it's going to be too late, and that's why I just pulling my hair out about wanting to change something up.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's an age-old argument. Anyway, I honestly think the players have to play better. Like, when I look at those missed tackles, that has nothing to do with who they put out there.
And drop passes.
And drop passes, thank you. I mean, the Brandon Marshall experiment. you know, not good. I mean, this guy looks lost when he gets into the game. I don't even know what the heck is going on with him. So, and Odell had a few also. It's not he's not immune either. But Odell is always going to balance it with great catches. You know, you're looking at a Philly game, you're not even in or whatever, things like that. So I do think he's a different case. But, you know, I think there's just a lot of execution mistakes. So that's when you kind of back up in the argument. Is it from the coaching? Is it from the message? Is it from things are too predictable, so the defense is in your face and that's why you're dropping it, or they know which way to cut, or I don't know. I don't know that much inside. All I can do is, like yourself, you look at 0-4 and you say, my gosh, like something's got to change.
Tara,
maybe it's as simple as play better. I don't know.
We have 30 seconds left. Have you noticed, though, that around the whole league that the football, the product itself is so bad?
I had this long discussion with Phil Simms the other day, funny enough, and I mean, he just contends, listen, defensive players, they're coming out of college faster, better, bigger. More of the top athletes are playing defense, and right now it's just the pendulum is swinging the defense's way. I do know what you're saying. It does look a little sloppier, but maybe you credit the other side of the ball. I don't have a strong stance either way, but I know you are seeing what you think you're seeing.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we're trying to sell football to across the pond in London, if you watch any of that game last week, that was one of the most disgusting displays of football I've ever seen. Tara, thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Tara.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Giants are a mess, but does one win change it for them? I mean, you know, if they can figure out a way to get it done, you know, win.
They got to win these next three before the bye week.
Oh, no question. You got to win them all. I mean, listen, you got to run off 7, 8, 9 games.
You
got to
go 10-2 down the stretch.
Yeah, but I think what you got to do is you got to win one first.
Well, that's the only way we're playing, so we got to do it.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to WEEI's Chris Villani, because guess what? The Sox
are
down
0-2.
You want
to talk about the Red Sox. Oh, okay.
Oh, you're the one that's opened me up for the Yankees. You're the one that wanted this. I got texts from you at 7 o'clock this morning. Couldn't wait for me to go on my rant. I can do this all day, pal. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Now the pitch. And that's a breaking ball, and that's lofted into shallow left field. That's a base hit. Bregman around third. He's going to score. And Altuve knocks in another. He's on fire.
It's been a rough couple days for the fans up here in the Northeast. Between Yankee fans and Red Sox fans, we're both down 0-2.
Yeah, but the Pats are keeping everybody at bay.
Yeah. Well, we got to talk.
Thank God they played on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Yeah. Cam Newton took care of them on the Sunday before.
I'd have been interested to know what the ratings were on Thursday for that game, actually. If, you know, with the Patriots being in and going up against some baseball, it would have been interesting to see what the stats are on that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some Red Sox here. And who better to talk to than our good friend from WEEI joining us right now on the TikTok Julius Guest Hotline, Chris Villani. Chris, good morning, buddy. Long time no talk.
Hey, guys. How you doing? By the way, those Thursday night ratings were good. They were up 26% from last year.
And that's good.
Buccaneers
and that's what happens when you put the Patriots on Thursday night, I'm telling you. I'd love to see. What was it the week before? I'd love to know that, too.
Like, I don't know. It was the week before. I saw yesterday that they had a nice spike last night, or Thursday night. So, yeah, you get the Patriots on there, you're going to get ratings, typically.
How about Chris knowing that number?
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. Pretty impressive.
Yes.
All right, Chris, let's start talking some Boston Red Sox here. There's a lot of expectation coming into the season, obviously, bringing in Chris Sale, having a rotation that looked like it was going to have Sale and Price at the top of it. We all know that that didn't happen for most of the season. They go into the playoffs, won the AL East, held off the Yankees last week of the season, and now they're facing an 0-2 hole against a really good Houston team. What's your take on this team so far?
Well, it's obviously been a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to phrase it, an unmitigated disaster in the playoffs so far. And remember, they were down 0-2 last year, ended up going quickly and quietly, but they lost a couple of close games to a very good Cleveland team with a great bullpen. And make no mistake, this Astros team is legit. I mean, I think if it plays the form the rest of the way in the division series, we're in line for a really good ALCS with Cleveland and Houston. But obviously, we'll see if either the Red Sox or Yankees spoil that. It's been a rough series three fronts, really. One is starting pitching. I mean, that goes without saying. You got your ace, Chris Sale, getting rocked in game one. Going back out for the sixth inning was a questionable decision, to say the least, from John Farrell. But even before that, Sale wasn't pitching well. He wasn't pitching well, frankly, all the way into September. And then Drew Pomeranz, I don't know what that was yesterday. This is a guy who was maybe the most consistent outside of Sale starting pitcher for the Red Sox this season, a guy they're really counting on. And those two combined to allow 11 earned runs, 14 hits, 5 home runs, and give you 7 innings total. between those two pitchers. So this is a team built around starting pitching. That's been a failure. The offense is hitting somewhere in the low 200s, about 220 or so for the series so far in these two games. This is not a heavy hitting team, but you need more than that. You need something, some sort of pop, some sort of offensive threat. They haven't gotten it. And then third, but maybe first on the minds of a lot of Red Sox fans, has been John Farrell. And give Farrell credit where it's due. You know, nobody has ever won three divisions titles before. Terry Francona, believe it or not, only won one. Nobody's ever won back-to-back divisions, division titles as a Red Sox manager before. John Farrell was able to do that, but he has had a terrible series so far and made several mistakes that aren't really second guesses, but first guesses, namely putting Sale back out for the sixth inning in Game 1, and where was Rafael Devers in the Game 2 starting lineup? I think that's a lot of something a lot of people said hours before the game, much less looking back at it and watching it completely overmatch Devin Marrero try to hit in the division series. So on those three fronts, the Red Sox have been terrible, and that's why they're down 0-2 and the games haven't been close.
Chris, I mean, and there's been a lot of talk about John Farrell for a while now. I mean, I feel like the last couple of years, John Farrell's been on the hot seat. And he's had a lot of success. I mean, why is it that his name keeps coming up on that hot seat talk?
There is a feeling with a lot of Red Sox fans that they win despite him, not because of him. I think a lot of the criticism of John Farrell has been overblown, frankly. I mean, he has had a lot of success. You could counter that by saying he's also been given one of the better payrolls in baseball, a roster that has been built to win. But injuries are not John Farrell's fault. The bullpen has been very effective throughout the course of this season. You got to give the manager some credit for that, for the way he's used his bullpen. He just has a propensity towards these mind-boggling decisions that just leave you shaking your head. And the Devers one was a great example of that. Like, any Yankees fan knows, wait, who the hell was this kid that just hit a home run in the ninth inning off Aroldis Chapman, who's throwing 102 miles an hour? Devers is a guy that can hit lefties. He hit 400 against lefties during the regular season, not to mention the fact that he's maybe the only semblance of power this Red Sox lineup has, and he's nowhere to be found in the starting lineup yesterday. Instead, you got Devin Marrero, who's your classic late-inning defensive replacement, a guy that's been very effective with his glove, but was completely overmatched. He struck out twice against Dallas Keuchel. These are the kinds of decisions that I think leave Red Sox fans very frustrated. And make no mistake, you know, I'll be on the air tomorrow after the game, as I was last year, actually. Maybe I'm the Red Sox season killer here, but I had the last game last year when they got swept. I got, just from the time it took to wrap up the post-game show and then walk into a different area where we do the call-in show, every single line was loaded, and every single comment line said, fire Farrell, fire Farrell, fire Farrell. Farrell has to be fired. I guess the producer decided that he was bored of typing the same thing. Fire Farrell, fire. It was one after another. And I guarantee you it will be the exact same thing tomorrow if they go quickly and quietly here against Houston.
So, Chris, you know, as I hold out hope for the Red Sox, you know, we don't want the Indians are saying, you know, and I repeat, don't let us win tomorrow, you know, like the old Kevin Millar stuff back in the day. Assuming that they don't win tomorrow, what can they do to fix the lineup, whether it's free agency or all in all, to get more pop in the lineup? Because they're just struggling.
Yeah, I mean, the name that everybody's throwing around up here is Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, that's kind of the dream scenario that a lot of people would obviously like to see. The guy just hit 60 home runs. You want to get pop in your lineup. There's a great way to do it.
And can I just, before you finish, and how ironic would that be if Derek Jeter traded Giancarlo Stanton to the Red Sox?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's kind of the dream scenario. But, you know, one of the second guesses here is that when Encarnacion, and a lot of people were saying that prior, I mean, that's clearly a ship that sailed. I know Encarnacion was injured yesterday, but this was something that a lot of people saw coming, the potential lack of power, and avoiding that was contingent on a lot of these guys, these younger guys getting better. Mookie Betts, you know, building off nearly an MVP campaign last year. Jackie Bradley showing a lot of the power. He showed a lot of power in flashes last season, continuing that this year. Same for Xander Bogaerts, who I don't think has been healthy for most of the second half of the season. Andrew Benintendi taking that step forward as a rookie. And Benintendi is the guy that you probably wait on the longest here. You got a small sample size with him, and I think you've seen some promise and some flash with him. But these guys have not developed, have not taken that step forward the way they wanted it to. Clearly, the Pablo Sandoval experiment was a disaster. And if the Red Sox do lose this series, which I think they will, if they lose this series, they might have to look and look at one of the other teams in their own city. I know it's a different sport, and it's not always apples to apples here, but the Celtics won 53 games last year, won the Eastern Conference. We're in a great position to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals again this year, but they looked at it, whether it was Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, Wick Grosbeck, looked at it together and said, we got waxed in the finals. And then that team got waxed in the NBA Finals. We knew we weren't good enough. We had to make big wholesale changes. And I think that's maybe the playbook you look at here from a Red Sox perspective. It'd be that young core, breaking up that young core to try to go out and get a power bat. It would be aggressive. It would certainly be a departure from what they thought they would be doing at this point. I think they wanted to build around some of those young guys. But that group right now has collectively underperformed this year, and that's a big reason why, you know, this team gets down 3, 4, 5 runs against good pitching in the postseason. There's just not a lot of hope that they're going to be able to come back.
Yeah, and the Celtics went out and got a really, really good draft pick early, number 3, the guy Jason Tatum from Duke, to help that to help that group. God. What, Jeff?
If it has to do with Duke, you got to bring it up.
My bad.
But I opened the door.
I mean, Chris, and you have to agree with it. You know better than that.
So back to the Red Sox, Chris. David Price, nice showing yesterday, coming along. Glimmer of hope for next year here with his health and hopefully having a very good season?
Oh, yeah, I mean, hope is the right word there. You got to hope so, right? He's owed $31 million again next season, so you're stuck with him one way or the other. And next year is an interesting year for Price. This is opt-out year. And if he pitches, you know, if you're of the mindset that you're going to get less of a value from Price going forward as he gets into his well into his 30s here, I guess you're hoping for a lights-out David Price season on two fronts. One, to help the Red Sox win, and two, to maybe make it more likely that he says, I can get a little bit more money, maybe a couple extra years on the back end of my contract if I go out into free agency and alleviate the $31 million a year burden for the last 4 years of that deal from the Red Sox perspective. In the short term, it was interesting. Price left yesterday somewhat in a huff, I guess, before the media even came in. I think he's been a little bit frustrated with the way that he's been used. He told the Washington Post this postseason that he wants to be have an opportunity to start. And John Farrell, again, it goes back to Farrell. Interesting, I guess, the way he wants to use him. Price is available Sunday, but he won't start. But he ruled out the possibility that he might make a short start if there's a game 5 or something like that. It's just very odd the way Farrell has sort of approached this. But since Price has come back as a reliever, he's been outstanding. He's approaching 12 scoreless innings, 15 strikeouts, 3 walks. He's been very, very effective. That said, to go back to your question, you can't gauge Price on the being a reliever. You're not going to have a $31 million a year Andrew Miller. So he needs to get back to health, number one. And also the form that he had, frankly, for most of his first season with the Red Sox. I know people were frustrated with the start. Clearly, people were frustrated with the way he played in the postseason. But if you look at the balance of his season last year, he pitched very well. And I think you would sign up for that from a Red Sox fan's perspective.
Chris, we got 30 seconds left. It's probably a loaded question. But Dave Dombrowski, I mean, no one talks about this, but, he traded away some talent to bring in Chris Sale, and you're talking about maybe making a move. Would you say that next year is going to be the defining moment for Dombrowski to see if he can get this team a championship?
Yeah, I think Dombrowski's got at least one more year, whereas Farrell may be gone on Monday if this team gets swept. Farrell may have 48 hours left. Dombrowski, I think they're invested in another year. Some people haven't liked some of the moves he made, but just look at this year. Adding Doug Fister, he's your Game 3 starter with a postseason track record. Adding Eduardo Nunez, who until he got hurt was the best hitter the second half of this season. Adding Addison Reed coming out of the bullpen, trading for Sale, trading for Kimbrel. The guy's made a lot of big moves. He's going to have at least one more year to try to make the changes they need to take this team from very good to championship caliber.
Chris, you're the man, buddy. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Anytime, boys. Have a good Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Chris Villani, WEI. Good information on the Sox. He's got he knows
the
Sox.
He really is good.
Interesting information. And again, Dave Dombrowski, I think that's, he's going to try to win a champ. That's what he's there for. So don't be surprised if they make a move where they're trading some key pieces that you thought were going to be in the organization forever to bring in a superstar. That could happen.
You want to trade managers?
God. I'll tell you what. I'll give you Joe Girardi for I don't want John Farrell, though.
I don't want John Farrell.
So just when you think you got it bad, I have it worse.
No, I wouldn't say you got it worse.
Well,
like, it's kind of
I mean, you don't want my guy, so
I don't want a Red Sox. I don't need the Red Sox manager. I don't need
him.
You
don't want Terry Francona?
I don't need him. No, I don't need Terry Francona either.
Oh, jeez.
I mean...
Oh, no. See, now you're just being stubborn.
Well, I'm not being stubborn. I'm just saying I'm just annoyed.
No.
I'm annoyed. I take Terry Francona.
Would you give up coaching the girls to take over the Yankees?
No, I've never seen my girls. My girls, I would never want to. No. My Colchester Lakers are my team. I would never. The Yankees couldn't pay me enough to leave my Lakers to go manage the Yankees. But they want to call me and want some advice. I'm here for Joe. Like, you know, look at the tape.
For a nominal fee.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
The Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, the home for all of them. 101.3 ESPN. Jeff Paul, Bernie Sabatier.
Call me daddy.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki riding shotgun with me. Dave Hunter running the board. Got Andy on the line from Williston. Andy, good morning, pal. What do you want to talk about?
New York Giants.
Let's do it.
They're looking to shake things up. One thing that they've got to do is get rid of the special teams coach. There's been nothing special about those teams, except Harris has been doing things by himself. They've had so many brain farts on that side of the line. It's unbelievable. If they'd just taken Wing aside and said, punt the ball along in that last game, I'm sure he would have gotten more than 28 yards. And putting Odell Beckham in the end zone instead of putting an 11th person on the line, and then you got to do a 61-yard punt, kick, you might have been able to block that.
Andy, you're absolutely right. That's Tom Quinn. And I think, Andy, I'm not trying to, piggyback this.
He's right on the money.
And you and I have talked about this for years. He's been the Giants special teams coordinator for 12 years. I don't think the Giants have been special at all in special teams. So, Andy, thanks. Great job. Great call there. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, it's especially because that's a huge third phase of the game that the Giants have lost consistently
for years. They have not been a great special team for years. I think since Rene Thompson was their gunner back in the day, that was the Parcells team. I think that's the last time the Giants had a special teams. I mean it. It's been terrible.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. It's just frustrating.
I mean, it's a mess. It really is. It's a mess. The Giants are a mess. But again, winning fixes everything. You get a win this week against another 0-4 football team, and things will look better for you. But I'll tell you, it's been a very difficult season for the Giants, and it's been all over the place. It's been sloppy football, poor coaching. It just has not been pretty.
But the quarterback's been good.
The quarterback the last 2 weeks has been very good. All right, David.
Keep that.
It's Sports Center time. I'm going to own it. I mean, I want him to do great.
I know, but...
You act like I hate Eli Manning.
Whoa.
I do not dislike Eli Manning.
I know, but...
He frustrates me.
I love it. Here we go. I get you going on Eli.
Oh, you do. Because you paint a picture. It's not true.
Oh, it's great.
Annoying. Go ahead, Dave. Take care of business here, pal.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont. WCPV. Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. 101.3 ESPN.
Sophomore goaltender Stefanos Loukas worked an impressive 33-save shutout, leading the Vermont Catamounts to a season-opening 3-0 victory last night over to Colorado College. That at the Gutterson Fieldhouse. It's the Cats' first win over Colorado College after losing their previous three meetings, the last being in 1996. The Cats and Tigers go at it again tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock at the Gut. In local high school football last night, Hartford nipped BFA St. Albans 24-23. St. Johnsbury blasted Brattleboro 53-20. CBU beat South Burlington 20-6. And Essex blanked Colchester 20-0. And Milton edged Linden by a score of 46-42. In local high school girls soccer, Colchester, CBU, Montpelier, Burlington, and BFA Fairfax all victorious. And in high school field hockey, Rice and Spalding both earning victories. Major League Baseball, the divisional series last night in the American League, it was the Astros beating the Red Sox by a score of 8-2. The win moved the Stros up 2-0 in the best of three series. And the big game in Cleveland, as heard here at 101.3 ESPN.
Batanzas checks second. His payoff pitch
swung on, banged to third, down the line it goes, fair ball, base hit into the corner, here comes Jackson, the Indians win it!
Yada, yada, yada. Cleveland got by the Yankees by a score of 9-8 in 13 innings. Tribe 2-0 advantage in that best of five series. And both the Yankees and Red Sox will go at it again tomorrow. You can hear all the action right here. Over in the National League, Cubs blank the Nationals as Chicago takes a 1-0 lead in the best of three series. They'll play again. You can hear it here at 5 o'clock. And the Dodgers outslug the Diamondbacks 9-5 as Los Angeles takes a 1-0 lead as well. You can hear that one here at 8:30. Hour number two, Sports Saturday. Jeff and Bernie standing by. I'm David Hunter, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com.
Your team sucks.
You want to try that again?
Maybe,
maybe later.
Yeah, I'll try that again later. That was very Dave Hunter.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. 655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. Same phone number, 802-655-6672. Text us and tell us what you're thinking. We're talking about it all today. And I feel like we're going to talk a little bit more now, because on the line is our buddy Jan from Underhill. Good morning, Jan.
Guys, this morning I woke up and I, as a true Yankee fan, I took my Nugenix recommended by Frank Thomas, and it didn't improve my mood. It didn't improve my virility. I'm still feeling depressed. It was a complete debacle. Overmanaging by Girardi yesterday.
Hold on.
As a true Yankee fan, but you're a Mets fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, most Octobers, I got to change colors, right? So, yeah, I feel.
Okay. You got to respect it. You got to respect Jan for that, because most Mets fans hate the Yankees. I mean, they hate them, but not
you
Jan.
You know how much it stings right now to watch Jay Bruce doing all this damage, right? We gave Jay Bruce to the Indians. They dangled him to the Yankees, and the Yankees didn't want to pick up a couple mil on his contract, and now he is killing them.
Was it the Yankees didn't want to pick up a couple of mil, or the Mets ownership didn't want him to go to the Yankees?
Oh, that's certainly part of it. Make no mistake. Like, to have the Wilpons watch Jay Bruce, like, lead the Yankees to the Canyon of Heroes, that would have been a disaster, but... Now they're feeling the sting because Bruce can't make an out.
What did the Mets get for Bruce?
The Bruce trade was some guy named Ryder Ryan, who is a double-A pitching prospect who, when they sent him to the Mets, had like a 6-point-something ERA. He's a middle-of-the-road at best, right? Probably will never even get a cup of coffee.
Oh, so for a Mets fan, he'll
re-sign with the Mets after the season's over.
You think so?
Yes.
The big Texas boy with a twitch, he's going to come back to New York? I don't know.
You never know. But more importantly, I have four letters for you. Go ahead, man. J-E-T-S.
Oh, man. Can you believe this? Like, in a season where we're supposed to stink, We're playing at a clip that is going to cost us the number one draft pick. Like, mathematically, I think we're already eliminated because the Browns are that bad. And we were tied with the Patriots going into this week. And our crosstown lobster-eating, tailgating rivals, the Giants, are 0-4. It's a disaster. You're feeling bad because your team stinks. I'm feeling bad because my team is good.
Jan, we appreciate the call, buddy. You're always entertainment, buddy. Have a great afternoon.
Have a great day. All right.
Thanks, bud.
So that he makes a very interesting point, and I was going to ask about this. Earlier this week on the Ryan Russillo show, as I was driving out to practice, he brought up the Giants situation at being 0-4. And anyone that listened to this, he brought up a really interesting conversation, was that if the Giants were to finish – so they, the Giants finished 2-14 or 3-13 and earned a top three pick, and we're facing drafting one of these top quarterbacks that are out there that are supposed to be sure thing.
But they just took one.
Well, but they picked up Webb, and Webb is more of a lower down. But if you're facing a guy that looks like he's a traditional organization, he's your legit
face
quarterback.
Face of your franchise.
Does the same thing happen to Eli that happened to Peyton?
But isn't it different though because of the injury that Peyton had?
Well, maybe, but do you still think Indianapolis, looking at the situation with Peyton Manning at the end of it, at least looking like it is at the end of his career, whether he was healthy or not, and you have a season like you did, and you know,
you knew Peyton was still going to come back, and you're facing a guy, you're looking Andrew Luck in the face, you know, you're looking at, that's your pick, he's right there for you. That's a tough decision not to make. And you don't know how many more seasons Eli is going to play, and you're not sure if David Webb is going to be. Now, they're telling us, they're telling Giant fans, they're telling the organization that he's the next guy. But if one of these guys is sitting there, that's a tough decision for a New York Giant organization to make. And will it
okay,
happen?
Well, but I'm going to go the other way on you. I'm going to say, well, okay, there are so many broken parts right now. Why, if you have a quarterback who is still productive and one in the wings, would you then take another one and not take that franchise left tackle or that franchise?
Well, is there one? Is there a franchise left tackle?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, I understand what you're saying about the face of the franchise, but there's so many other pieces that need to be fixed. You know,
but in a quarterback-driven league, and I agree with you.
True, because I
will give you this, and I know you think I dislike Eli, but Eli just drives me nuts. But the last 2 weeks, he's been great. You have to give Eli.
I mean, he even ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost feel like he realizes, like, I need to be better.
You might make me cry.
I mean, I know.
You're making me get sentimental.
You love Eli so much. Yes. You just can't get enough when I say nice things about him. But there is going to be a point in time, and I think the Patriots face that as well. And I think they feel like they've got his
back
in Garoppolo. But there's going to be a point in time in the next couple of years where I think he's going to say, and I'm sure Eli's wife is saying, why are you still playing now? I mean, you're getting, you know, I mean, the offensive line is horrible. The team doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere. I mean, I can't imagine more than a couple more years. So if you have the ability and you're facing a quarterback that looks like, and you never know if they're a sure thing or not, but it looks like they're a sure thing. I mean, how do you not draft that?
Who was the guy from LSU that was a sure thing? The purple juice guy. D'Angelo Russell?
Played for the Ray. No, I know. You don't know, but you have no clue. That's right. Why I hate having the number one or number two pick.
Right.
Because you have to be right. We've talked about this in the NBA. It's like I would much rather trade those picks to get players you know are players than guys you think could be players. Because you just don't know. So hopefully they don't have this situation, but I think it's a question that needs to be asked. If the Giants are facing that situation, what do they do?
Well, and then the other question is, okay, let's say in these next three games, because they have San Diego, Denver, and Seattle before the bye week, they're sitting in the bye week at 1-6. When do you sit him to see if this rookie has that potential?
Oh, wow. And how do you tell Eli Manning that? That's not going to happen. That'll never happen. That's not going to happen. Cause I don't think they plan on playing him at all. I don't think it was like they've given him the keys to the, you know, like, you know, this is your, it's not, I don't think this is like a Kurt Warner, Eli Manning situation.
Well, they did it with Perkins and the running back.
Yeah, but that's a different animal. I mean, Perkins is a different, I mean, that's
He's not even playing this week, thank God.
Well, but what I'm saying is Perkins isn't some established running back. It's not like we're talking about, you know, say Adrian, say it's Ahmad, I don't even know if the Giants, when's the last great Giant running back that was like?
Otis Anderson.
Joe
Morris.
Rodney Hampton, Tiki Barber. Yeah, a Tiki Barber. It's not like a Tiki Barber situation.
Who we never won with, but nobody wants to talk about that.
No, Tiki.
He was a wide receiver.
Tiki is just, poor Tiki.
No poor Tiki. No way, man.
I used to love Tiki as a player, but when he got done, man.
He burned too many bridges for me.
He sure did. He really did. Oh, he burned a lot of bridges for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that left football early with the arrogance that he was going to be like the next, you know, Ahmad Rashad or something. One of the big names on television. And it, you know, and how about Michael Strahan actually being the next superstar on TV? Is that kind of interesting? You know how Tiki Barber, you know, kind of left football early because he had this plan that he was going to be the next face of television. He's going to be the next face. You know, I mean, I think he envisioned him being like the, you know, the Matt Lauer or the, you know, the guy that took the Today Show and, you know, or whatever show he took. And then Michael Strahan now is the face of everything.
I know.
By the way, I saw Michael Strahan when he was on the Kelly Ripa show. Remember Kelly and Michael?
Yeah.
I met him. That front row
didn't look that big compared to you.
No, because in that picture, I got a great picture of me and Michael Strahan. I'm standing up on I'm standing up high because I'm up. He's not on a
plane. Well, yeah, no crate,
me, sort of. And basically, he looks at me and goes, "Hey, man, you better not be telling your friends that I'm this short." I was like, "I'm telling them that I'm this tall." Makes me look a lot bigger. But anyway, to get off the Tiki thing, I don't know. I think it's a tough conversation to have. I don't know if the Giant running backs, if they've ever had a running back that's been established as an Eli Manning. I would say Tiki's one of those guys. Joe Morris was one of those guys. Maybe Rodney Hampton, where you're going to sit an older player to play the next level player, the younger player. But that's not happening this year for the Giants. And what a tough, daunting task they have the next 3 weeks. I mean, after this week. I mean, it's rough.
Sunday night in Denver and then host Seattle on the following week.
Of course, but that might be the
Seattle might not be as good as people
Seattle.
Think.
They can beat Seattle.
I don't think Denver's that good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the Giants could, and this is the thing
but
here.
But the Giants aren't good.
They're not. Well, it's not that they're not good. They keep making mistakes that just make you shake your head. You know, it's almost, that's why I think every week you feel like, okay, this is going to be the week they're going to straighten it out, because the things that beat them are not necessarily things that the other team is doing. It's more about things that they're doing. I go back to the John Jerry situation where he's grabbing the guy as the Philadelphia Eagles trying to get up the field. He's grabbing him. There's no need to do it. That cost them that football game. The drop passes by Brandon Marshall against Detroit. That cost them that football game.
And Tampa Bay.
I was going to say this. The drop pass against Tampa Bay cost them that football game. I mean,
two punts.
Two punts cost you football games.
The field goal kick, that wasn't even close in Tampa.
I mean, those are things that you have control over. That's the kind of stuff that kind of drives you crazy. It's not as if they're going out there and they're getting outplayed or they're just not talented enough. It's like it's almost as if they're not ready.
Landon Collins has not been superstar level either.
He hasn't.
The tight end still lights us up.
Yeah.
No pass rush.
Yeah.
JPP has gotten his money and not produced.
Yeah. And where's he been? I haven't heard his name in weeks.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be great to be an LA Ram fan?
Yeah. The helmets are working out great.
Well, again, L.A. Rams, how about that story? I mean, you know, everybody was down on Goff, and it looks like he really is the real deal.
They got a left tackle.
Yeah.
The guy Whitmore has been a rock star. Now Gurley's playing. He's catching the ball. They got wide receivers. They're
most points in the NFL.
And how about Dallas? I mean, if you're a Dallas fan today, I mean, and we can talk about that, 655-6672. I mean, Dallas, with all this expectation, and I said it after week one against the Giants, a game that the Giants just – weren't even effective in any phase of the game. I didn't think Dak was that impressive, and I haven't been impressed with Dak since last season. I feel like the offense can get a bit stagnant. I don't feel like I feel like maybe this is a second year where he's been exposed a little bit. I mean,
there's more film to study. They study all.
But do you agree with me? I mean, he's not as prolific. He's not as dynamic as everybody puts him on this pedestal where he's, you know, he's like the next dynamic quarterback in the league, and I don't see that.
But I also think, you know, maybe Dez Bryant has lost a little bit, so his wideouts haven't been great.
You have the best offensive line in football.
Right.
You arguably have the best running back in football.
Right.
Okay.
So, but I'm saying, like, he hasn't been as dynamic because I think the wide receiving core, and Jason Witten got off to a great start, but that has slowed down, and so that has made it easier for defenses to kind of cover.
You might be right about that, but I think when you have an offensive line that gives Dak Prescott the kind of time he gets and the ability that Dak Prescott has to get out of the pocket, I can't imagine, it doesn't matter who the wide receivers are, I would expect him to be successful. I would expect a guy like, if Eli Manning had that line, what he could do, being a pocket passer, I just don't understand how Dak isn't. But again, I think it's sophomore year. I think, it again, Dak was a lower...
Eli Apple?
What about
sophomore
Eli
slump?
Apple? Yeah, but I'm not Dak. Eli Apple and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is much better football player than Eli Apple. Eli Apple is still a question mark how the Giants dropped him in the first round anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a question mark, but I think there's a lot of expectation on Eli.
At least Evan Ingram's a good football player.
Yeah, good football player, but again.
And how on the two-point conversion or the Odell Beckham play when he gets pushed out of bounds, they don't make that call?
Chris from Burlington.
Chris from Burlington on the line. What's going on, Chris? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Jeff and Bernie?
How you doing, buddy? What's happening today?
I don't know much. This is the umpire, and Bernie, you know me from Shaw's. I work there. But I'm a Rams fan, and there's not too many of us around. There's a few. But, you know, somebody posted on Facebook, let boycott the football season because of the national anthem. Hell no, I'm a Rams fan. We're in first place.
Yeah, mindsets change when your team's in first place, Chris. No question about that. The Rams are a great story. And again, like we were just talking about them, I think what they have, and you mentioned it, Bernie, their offensive line's been great. You got a young quarterback that's got a lot of confidence. You have maybe the best running back in the league. You know, and what an afterthought Sammy Watkins was coming into this season. So that football team.
Not to mention our field goal kicker hasn't missed a kick yet this year.
Yeah, very
Greg
good.
Greg the Leg.
Cooper Kupp.
Our punter is probably the best out there. And our defensive front four ain't too shabby either.
Well, I think it said a lot. And Chris, thanks for the call, pal. We always love hearing from you.
Great looking cheerleader.
I think the most important thing and what said a lot about them is that for them to go on the road and to beat Dallas in Dallas and come back.
And the way
back,
they did it.
Exactly. And to come back, and it says a lot about that team. And I will say this about the NFC West. They're the best team in the NFC West right now.
The Los Angeles Rams are the best team in the NFC West.
Wow.
They're better than, I think they're better than Seattle. They're better than San Francisco. Name a team better than them. I'm telling you.
There's only four teams in the division, so. Well, there you go. They're better than, not as good as Arizona.
Yeah, right.
They take on mighty Seattle this weekend.
Yeah, big game for them. But again, I would say it was a bigger game last week. To go on the road in Dallas to win is a bigger game.
That builds confidence. That's a marquee win.
Well, now, fair enough. I get that. But to go in there and do that shows the kind of team that they potentially could be. I think that's.
You know, they were 3-1 last year, too. So.
Yeah, but this is a much different football team than last year. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, get ready. Bernie and I are going to make our NFL picks. It's week 5. Are we going to pick the Giants this week?
We'll find out.
We'll be right back.
When you need sports, we've got your fix. We're 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
Jeff Paul, Bernie Simply, party all the time. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
We're back here on Sports Saturday. Hey, Bern, it's week 5 in the NFL. You know what that means?
Giants will be 0-5 on Monday.
Very good possibility of that. Let's break down each game, shall we?
Why not?
Want to do it? All right, here we go. Let's go. Jacksonville traveling to Pittsburgh. A Jacksonville team that you felt was really coming. Rough one last week, though, against the Jets. Jacksonville travels to Pittsburgh, taking on the Steelers.
And, you know, Jacksonville's funny because they go to London and dismantle Baltimore, who everybody said was back because of their defense. And it's just, you know, now there's some disgruntledness, Antonio Brown with the Steelers, you know, so very interesting game, but it doesn't matter. Pittsburgh's still worse.
Yeah, especially at home. I mean, I think Jacksonville's definitely an up-and-coming football team, but disappointing last week of you, Jacksonville, losing that game to the Jets.
Well, the Jets are that good. Jan's happy.
Yeah, Jan is happy. How about some of those Jets uniforms, though, too? The all-white. Remember the old-school green?
Loved them.
Those were awesome uniforms back in the day. They got to go back to those. Anyway, so you got Pittsburgh?
Sure.
I got Pittsburgh, too. All right, Tennessee going to Miami. Tennessee reeling a little bit against a Miami team that can't put any points on the board at all.
And Marcus Mariota, game-time decision. You know, I've been very disappointing. I'm a big fan of his, but I just think Jay Cutler figures it out as Tennessee might be a little overhyped right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, and Miami's going to open up eventually, so I think they're going to get it done this week as well. San Francisco at Indianapolis. Oh, I'm sorry. San Francisco at Indianapolis. I'm sorry. Who do we got this week?
Wow. I'm going to take Indianapolis just because I have to pick somebody.
With San Francisco having to come all the way across the country, I think Indianapolis wins too. But it'll be a competitive
game. Halfway. It's not all the way across the country.
Oh, that's true. Indianapolis is in the middle of the country. Yeah. That's not that big.
Come on.
All right, let me think about it a second.
On a private plane?
I got Indianapolis.
Okay.
All right, here we go. The Jets are at Cleveland. All of a sudden, the New York football Jets, the unbelievable New York Jets, could be 3-2 as they go take on the hapless Cleveland Browns.
I don't know why people think Cleveland's hapless. I don't think they're that bad.
I don't think people thought they were hapless until last week.
Okay.
Okay.
So
going into last
hiccup.
Week, I think they were really excited. Then they get home and they get blown out, their doors off. I think that's the problem with the Brownies.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say they get their first one and the Jets come back to earth.
Well, I think the Jets put some kind of bad tweet out that kind of mocked the Browns a little bit. I think it was like a dog with the.
So you know the Jets really know how to win. And,
you know, they're just jabbing.
Just because they won a couple games.
I'm gonna pick Cleveland too.
All right.
Fighting Irish, Deshaun Kaiser. Let's get it done this week.
Julius
Jets.
Peppers, man. I love that guy.
I'm going to go with Cleveland as well. They're going to beat the Jets. All right, here we go. This ought to be good. The Los Angeles Chargers. The Bolts, baby. 0-4 travel all the way across the country to MetLife Stadium to take on Big Blue. The 0-4 New York Giants.
Boy. You know, Eli's 0-3 in his career against Phil. Everybody says they never should have made the trade. It's worked out well. And, you know, these two quarterbacks arguably are Hall of Famers with Ben Roethlisberger in that class.
Yep.
And at the end of
it. You think Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
His numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah, never won, though.
So, Eli's won, too, and you don't think he's a Hall of Famer, and his numbers are okay.
Yeah, I don't think Eli's a Hall of Famer either.
Then neither of them are a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Even though he's played well the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay. I just think at the end of the day for this one, the Chargers are better and they win.
Nah, the Giants are going to win this week. I'm telling you right now.
Your glass is always
half
full.
Down.
I wish you'd feel that way about Eli.
I told you, I love my boy Eli. He frustrates me. I'm going to call him out when I have to. He's been great the last 2 weeks. If he plays that way this week, they'll win. Arizona at Philadelphia. Got to give Philadelphia a lot of credit. Went on the road last week. They don't play much defense. Boy, they can score points, and they're sitting atop the NFC East.
They are, and they will continue as they win again.
I agree. They're going to beat Arizona. Carolina heads to Detroit. Detroit, pretty interesting story. Carolina, huge win last week. A little bit of a problem with Cam Newton and a reporter this week. Will that have carryover? I don't know, but they looked really good offensively against the Patriots.
And Detroit winning that game in Minnesota 14-7, usually a high-flying type of offense, won the game in ways that they haven't won before.
Do you feel like Detroit's like under the radar a little bit?
Well, no, they beat the Giants, so they're on everybody's radar.
Everybody beats the Giants. That's no big deal.
Yeah, that is true. I am saying that Detroit gets another one.
Yeah, I think Carolina goes in and wins this week. I think the Panthers are a really good football team. Now, I know that Kelvin Benjamin is a game-time decision. I think he has a little knee issue there, but I like what I saw to Cam Newton last week in that offense. The defense looks pretty solid, and I'm not sold on Detroit yet. I'm just not there yet. If Detroit wins, I might be on them next week, but Carolina, I think, is going to go on the road.
You're on assignment next week.
Oh, that's right. It's a good point. Buffalo at Cincinnati. The Bills heading to take on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, and again, in a game that you thought Cincinnati would just have no problems with, but that Buffalo team been very, very good, winning a lot of close games going into Atlanta and just, you know, taking care of that.
Even though
Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu left the game early.
I don't care about that. To go on the road and win in that dome is very impressive.
And I think they do it again. I think they're as advertised. Their defense is very good, and they win in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they go on the road. I think it's going to be a good game. But I think Cincinnati's going to upset them this week. I think Buffalo doesn't get it done on the road. I got Cincinnati. Baltimore at Oakland. An Oakland team that a couple weeks ago people were talking about. This is a Super Bowl contender. Look out, New England Patriots. But since then, the Raiders have looked very bad.
Well, and losing your quarterback and just tough and
tough.
But I'm just going to say at home, Oakland gets it done.
Yeah, I think coming home, the black hole's there. You know how the Raiders play at home. Baltimore has not been that good. I like Oakland as well. All right, Seattle against Dave's Rams at the Rams. The Rams, who are unbelievable this season so far. Great offense. Their defense looks solid. Goes on the road last week and beats Dallas in Big D. They come back from being down by, I think, what were they down? 24-13 at one point, I think, in that football game. The Rams find a way to win. Get the job done. Seattle has been a team that was very slow starting offensively, but they seem like they've turned a corner there. A tough one this week, I think.
It is a tough one, but big brother Seattle whips up on little brother.
Oh, I'll tell you what. This to me is a coin flip.
On Sunday, Yankees done, Rams done.
Rams always beat Seattle.
This is an interesting game for me, and I'll tell you why. Because I feel as if Seattle is I'm not sold on them yet. I'm not sold that their defense is that good. Their offensive line is very suspect. Dave, I'm going to give it your Rams. The Rams this week. I'm picking the Rams.
Didn't they just lose Averill?
They did. Yes. I got the Rams. I'm all over the Rams this week. Green Bay at Dallas. Big game this week. Like rematch of the playoffs last season.
Can they both lose?
I know, really. Green Bay Packers heading to Dallas. Dallas needs to get a win. This is a big game for Dallas. Green Bay is Green Bay. You know what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table. What do you got?
Ugh. The fact that I have to pick one of these two teams, I do not enjoy. But because I really don't like Green Bay, I'm taking Dallas.
I think the quarterback play determines who wins this football game, and I don't think Dak Prescott's playing that well. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers in the pack, going on to Big D and getting a win. Kansas City at Houston. All of a sudden, Houston's scoring like 250 points a game.
Yeah, they did it in one game.
Well, they scored a lot of points against the Patriots the week before.
Two very bad defenses.
Okay, anyway, let's go. Kansas City at Houston.
Hail to the Chief. Go Kansas City.
Houston wins. Minnesota at Chicago. This used to be a big game back in like 1988.
I'm just excited to see the rookie quarterback for Chicago, and he's going to have a tough christening into the NFL. Vikings win.
I think it's going to be a very close game. Minnesota doesn't blow your doors off. And if this, you know, and sometimes you get a lot of momentum bringing in a fresh quarterback. You bring in that young kid. There's a lot of excitement level there. Saying all that, I think the Vikings get it done against the Bears. Who do you got in the Patriots-Bucks game?
I still take the Bucks. I think they're going to figure out a way to score on fourth down.
Got the Pats. Got to get the Patriots. That's our picks for Week 5, by the way. Let's get to the Patriots for a second. Got to give the Patriot defense some credit. Last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, they have been non-existent.
Dismantled,
but they found a way on the road to hold a Buccaneer team that's got some weapons offensively, a quarterback Jameis Winston that's very solid, and they held them to 14 points.
and made the big stop when they had to. Got to give them a little credit
there. You think they should have stuck with the kicker they drafted? Tampa Bay?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, because Nick Folk is just... He almost missed that little chippy to beat the Giants. He almost pulled that.
And you know, like I'm giving him a hard time. You know, he was he missed three against the Patriots. I mean, one was 48, one was 51. That's not easy. But the third one, there was no excuse.
But 48 and 50, I mean, 51's a bomb. But I mean, for these kickers nowadays, 48-yard field goal is a chip shot. You got to make, if you're an NFL kicker, you got to make that kick.
The field wasn't in great condition.
Bumpy field, tough thing. I mean, how can you have a bat? What do you mean the field wasn't in good? It's an NFL field. Field's not in good condition.
Rain, people digging in, chewing up.
I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it was just fine.
Okay, let's
I went to a game at Tampa like a couple years ago. The Giants play. It's a nice place to watch a game.
It was in November.
It's loud though.
It was in November.
Yeah, it was in November.
Yeah.
Right after my season. We flew down. It was great. Giants won that football game.
Yeah, they shouldn't have.
Yeah, they should. They had a big lead.
Odell scored. I think it was that his rookie year?
No. It was like his second or third. It was a couple, just 2 years ago. It was maybe his second year.
Is his third year in the league.
Then it was his second year. No, okay, then did I go last year?
No, 2 years ago.
I don't think it was his rookie year, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was. Anyway, they won that day.
You're that old.
But the Patriots, listen, have they turned a corner, though, defensively? Did you see anything in that game that you felt was, you know?
No, because, I mean, you talk about the product of the NFL, the Thursday night games are even worse.
Oh, they are bad.
I mean, I feel bad for the guys.
But what's the reason for it? But what's the reason for the product being so bad?
Because you don't have as much time to prep and to practice, and you're hurt.
So ever since, this is what happened with a few years ago when they changed all the rules for preseason.
Collective. Well, that too.
They don't do a lot. You know, so you get this product. And the other thing is, I think coaches making these decisions that, you know, injuries are so relevant that none of these guys play together through the preseason. What do they play? Like 3-4 snaps, if that? I mean,
in the games. In practice, they do a little bit.
Sure, but you need game reps. I mean, you need to have game reps.
Game speed, pads.
And you're playing up against other guys. I'm telling you, it's.
Well, like, I guess my question is, you know, Gronk didn't play Thursday. If they're playing Sunday, is he playing?
Oh, probably.
You know?
Probably. And again, that's a big loss for New England in their offense. But, you know, Brady just gets it done. I mean, you got to give Tom Brady a lot of credit. He just gets it done. It doesn't matter who they put out there with him. Look at you rolling your eyes.
No, he does. Absolutely. He does. You're right on the money.
As a Giants fan, and I mean this, as a Giants fan, I don't have any, like, disdain for the Patriots. I really don't. I feel like, you know, I don't.
No, I just don't want him to win.
But I look at Bill Belichick, to me, he's a giant to me. Yeah. I mean, you ever watched his 30 for 30 or whatever? I saw a thing on him and he thinks
NFL life.
Yeah, the thing about, you know, he talks about those giant defenses he was coordinator of. If anything, I'm more upset at the Giant ownership back in those days or the general manager that allowed Parcells to walk away and allowed Belichick to leave. You know, we had Ray Hanley all that.
You watch next year, Bill Belichick, head coach of the Giants.
Not a chance.
Come on.
Bill Belichick.
Start the rumor.
I mean, Bill Belichick is never going to go to the New York Football Giants.
Why?
Because when it's over, he's going to sit back and relax. He's a Patriot. That's what happens. He's a Pat. The Giants let him walk away. They let it happen. I'll never forget. If you remember back in those days, you know,
Dude, I don't remember what I did yesterday. You want me to remember back in those days?
Well, I remember. As a Giant fan, you remember when we Ray Hanley. And by the way, I just want to make a shout out there.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. The Florida State Tomahawk Chop when they would go, Ray must go. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that was right after the Parcells. I mean, that was right like the next year after Parcells and Belichick. You had these coaches in your system and you let them leave. It's unfortunate. And by the way,
Belichick went on and was terrible in Cleveland, though.
He was never terrible in Cleveland. They were not terrible in Cleveland. They were building something in Cleveland.
And then he was gone.
Well, because they basically ran him out of town.
Well.
If you look at what they did there, though, and what was happening there was a lot of good things happening there. I think that was a poor decision on Cleveland as well. The Browns could have been the Pats. I mean, he's a savant, man. I mean, Bill Belichick is a savant. If you look at what he's been able to do in this league, the consistency of this league, and you know, we talk about every year, it's a year-to-year league. 1 year, you're great. Next year, you're terrible.
Look at the Giants.
Well, let's look at a team that like Carolina. I mean, the year before last, they were arguably one of the best teams in the NFL. The next season,
they got
not
to the
very
Super Bowl.
Good. Understood, but
right. No, I'm agreeing with you.
In the NFL, they're just not. You don't have the consistency the Patriots have. The Patriots have this run with him that's amazing, and it's not like they're loaded with the greatest players in the world. He does it with whatever he's given, and he's not afraid to let the guys that need more money or want more money that have established him. He's not afraid to let them go. to bring in younger guys that he can develop. It's an amazing thing that he's been able to do. I give a lot of respect to that. A lot of props to Bill Belichick for that.
Yeah, no, you can't. I mean, you cannot not agree with the success and the franchise and the organization and everything they do. And they do it the right way.
They do. They do. And by the way, my niece Bailey Paul, congratulations. They won her soccer game today, 1-0. It's got a text. So congrats, Bales.
That's great.
I hope that you are moving your feet, honey. Okay. Containing well, because she plays a little defense, you know. Okay. Sometimes she plays in net. Sometimes she plays up front.
They didn't give up a goal, so they had to do something right.
She's tough. I hope she was communicating well with her teammates. It's important as well, Bale. I love you, Bailey Paul. Congrats on your 1-0 win. All right, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, get your fantasy football questions ready. Send them right now to the text line at 802-655-6672 or call when we have Jake on. Jake Kent, our fantasy football guru, coming at you next. Get ready. He's going to help you win a championship. I'm making the best comeback from 0-3 you've ever seen in your life, pal.
No shot.
Yes, I am. I'll be right back.
Phone call. Monica from Williston.
And to think I could have married Don Hoffman. And would it hurt for you to say that you love me once in a while?
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right there. She wants to get out and she, you know, it's great. Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki, my main man. Getting it done this morning. Look at you over there.
Oh, we're ready to go, man. We're ready to go.
I had a great article to read you because you are usually pretty grumpy.
I am not.
And there's an article
grumpy.
That came out
usually, I am grumpy.
Well, I found out. I may have found out why. And if we have time, then I'm going to tell you on the air.
I don't want to know.
But we're too busy right now because we got to talk fantasy football. On the TikTok Jewelers guest line, we have our buddy and fantasy football expert, Jake Kent. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a good week?
How are you? Good week. Yeah, I went to got another win last week, so I stay undefeated in two leagues. One of them I won by a tenth of a point thanks to Alex Smith, so chalk it up to a win.
Well, let me tell you what. I am 1-3, had a big win last week, finally,
nice.
You know, and I'm 2-2 in the other league, so I'm hanging in there. But poor Bernie over here has got a big goose egg where the Giants have a goose egg. So that's, you know, he's not happy. He's miserable.
And Jake, you probably get mad or wouldn't agree. I was so desperate. I just traded Matt Stafford and LeSean McCoy for Tom Brady and Belial Powell.
All right. I mean, I don't hate that, actually. That's not so bad. I mean, it's still early, right? So my very first time playing in one of the expert leagues I play in, I started that league 0-7 that year. I then won six straight to make the playoffs at 6-7, won the championship, and never looked back. So there's still hope for you.
See, all right.
You
well, see, okay.
Now,
thank
oh, look
you.
At,
no,
look at
no,
you.
No, feel I'm
good.
Up.
You feel good. All right. 655-6672 is the number to call. 802-655-6672. If you want to join the conversation, get your fantasy football questions ready. Call and ask Jake personally. You can do it right now. Call us. Or you can text us on our text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. The Town Fair Tire text line is open now. I just got a text in. I don't even know if I should say this to you. Dennis from Georgia wrote, he's playing me. He's in my league. He said, I'm playing Jeff head-to-head this week in our league. I need a W. Wentz or Cam Newton at quarterback, Marshawn Lynch or Tyler Lockett at flex. Feel free to go muffled on this one.
Yeah, do I give the wrong advice? A tricky situation. I mean, Cam looked good last week, but he looked good when everybody looked good, which is against the Patriots. So I'm going to roll Winstock out there. And is Marshawn Lynch or Lockett, were those the choices?
That's the only guys he has because everybody else is on a bye. So it's Lockett or Lynch for flex.
Yeah, and y'all playing the PPL league. Until I see something new from Oakland that gets me a little more excited, I'm just probably going to roll with the receiver there and Lockett.
Okay, how about at a flex position, Cooper Kupp or Stills, the wide receiver from Miami?
Give me Cooper Kupp. I mean, I know. So this is the week, right? This is Smoking Jay Cutler's week, or it should be. So it's the friendliest matchup in all the league. I do think some of the Miami receivers could have big weeks, but so much of that volume in that offense is concentrated on Landry and on Parker that I don't think I would bother with Stills at this point.
Rashad Matthews or Sterling Shepard in a flex this week?
Oh, that's a good one. Shep's looked pretty good, actually. I haven't projected for over 50 yards again this week. I would say, based on the Mariota health question, let's go ahead and roll with let's roll Shep out again this week.
All right, Russell Wilson or Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, that's a good one too. I mean, are they gonna oil the squeaky wheel this week, right? Antonio Brown throwing coolers on the field, looking like a diva, like most of wide receivers do at some point. They'll probably go out of their way to feed him the ball. I like Big Ben this week, all right, yeah.
How about let's see, what is one right here? Thomas Rawls, or do you stick with Marshawn Lynch?
Oh man, that's a tough one. So a lot of lack of clarity in Seattle. We think maybe McKissick looked great last week. Thomas Rawls is the guy eventually, I think. But with not a lot of, those are not great options. But with not a lot of clarity in Seattle, I'm going to go with Lynch. Though I'm not a big Lynch guy.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to ask your question, fantasy football question, for our fantasy football expert, Jake Kent, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672 is the number to call, or text us.
Jake, you know, just as we're a quarter way through the season, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment for you so far in fantasy?
Yeah, well, that's a good one. I mean, the biggest surprise has got to be Kareem Hunt, who we seem to talk about every week. He just continues to produce. I think he's going to have another big week this week. In terms of disappointments, I mean, there's probably a handful of guys who feel like haven't really lived up to the hype just yet. I mean, Ajayi in Miami would be one of those guys you feel that way about. Dez Bryant, to a degree, that we knew that his early schedule was going to be really tough. I think, you know, it's easy to look at schedules and go, I'm 1-3, my guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Most of your stud-type guys are going to find a way to produce as the season rolls on. Schedules get friendlier, offenses get more familiar, injuries start to weigh in. For the most part, I think most of the big first, second, third-round guys we drafted are going to be okay. It's just been a slow start for some of those guys, and I think Ajayi is a classic example of that.
How about the most, like, frustrating fantasy guy to try to predict?
Everyone from the Patriots. mean, that's the short answer, right? Like, who is it going to be every week? I mean, Chris Hogan is starting to break out of that Patriots mold to a degree, which is much appreciated. He's been showing up every week. But otherwise, you never really know what they're doing. And James White's really been better, too. But just when you think James White's going to be the guy moving forward, next week Deion Lewis will be the guy. They're giving no – I mean, basically when Gronk's out, they don't even look – at a tight end, so Dwayne Allen's been completely useless. They're always just endlessly frustrating for me.
And how about
in terms of,
you know,
what to expect and what happens?
And even Danny Amendola, like, you know, with minus the injury, he's had a pretty good year.
Yeah, I mean, not bad, right? But in a given week, it could be Cooks, right? Who's going to be the guy? It could be Amendola. It could be Hogan, James White. I mean, there's just so many guys, and Gillisley and Burkhead, and it's like because of the injuries and because of just never really knowing what they're going to do. They're just always endlessly frustrating to me. I don't really draft Patriots for this reason.
All right, Jake, let's get another question on the text line here. Mark wants to know, Delanie Walker or Evan Engram this week?
Delanie Walker. Well, so again, back to Mariota health, right? So stay in tune with that situation. Assuming, and I don't know if you guys have an update on Mariota. I didn't check the news this morning. If he's a go.
Game time decision.
Yeah. You know, maybe you roll, if it's a PPR, feel free to roll Engram out there instead. If you're looking for that touchdown upside, I'm probably going to go ahead and go with Delanie Walker.
All right, Jake, let's go into some other things here. So I have a question I wanted to ask you. This is, you know, so do you notice that this year Dak Prescott isn't as dynamic as we thought he was going to be?
I think that's true. I think that we're seeing teams kind of adjusting him, right? So one of the things in the NFL we see all the time is that from one year to the next, guys are really good at watching film in the offseason. Coaching staffs are really good at watching film in the offseason. My golden rule for the NFL is you can have problems, but you can't have the same problems this year as you had last year. Because if you give these coaches who are brilliant guys who put endless hours into this craft, if you give them a full offseason to watch what you do, there's no hope for you. They're going to exploit your problems, right? So we see this with the Patriots this year to a degree too, where defenses or offenses have realized that the Patriots can't pressure the quarterback. They can't. They have zero pass rush, which means if you have 4, 5, 6 seconds to let people run routes and run deep routes, that's what they're going to do. And the Patriots, we saw do this. They came into this year with the same problems they had last year, getting exploited. We're seeing a little bit of that with the Cowboys offense. The offensive line has not been as good. If the offensive line is not as good, we saw how great DeMarco Murray was there with that offensive line. If they're fading a bit, that doesn't allow Zeke to do his thing, which in turn doesn't allow Dak to do his thing. So there's a little catch-up going, but I think he'll be all right long-term.
How about the explosion offensively in Houston? Is that
Is
that sustainable? Are those guys worth hopping on, or is it just kind of a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, I mean, there's no one there that I'm that excited about. Like, I'm not a big Lamar Miller guy. He's always been all right, and last year he had enormous amounts of volume, particularly early, and that can be very helpful in terms of fantasy. But Deshaun Watson's just kind of getting it done. You know, I think people are excited about it. The coaching staff's excited. Bill O'Brien seems to care again, which is nice. So, you know, other than Hopkins, who's just going to always see an enormous amount of targets, I don't think there's anybody where, like, we're going to start this guy every single week. But in good matchups, there's definitely guys there who can get it done. We saw that last week, certainly. We talked about Will Fuller last week as a guy to go get. He had a touchdown right away in his first game back. So they're going to have games where they're up. I'm not going to be starting them in tough matchups still.
And how about the Jets running game? Does that sustain throughout the year as well?
Well, you better hope so. You made that
Man,
big trade.
I was so down on Bilal Powell last week. People were all into him. It was very much the chalk play in the DraftKings FanDuel world. He busted that huge run, of course, made me look silly. He's not that good at football. When it all boils down, he's just not that good at the game. But here we are. That offense has actually been all right. You know, it's Josh McCown week. They get a very friendly matchup. You can go out and start him, and he's probably going to feed the ball to Robbie Anderson and Bilal Powell, and they're going to be all right.
All right, Jake, how do people follow you during the week?
Yeah, find me, you know, at Jake Kent VT on Twitter. A couple other names to get this week if you need them. Geronimo Allison, big week for the Packers last week. He's mostly available still, especially depending on who's in and out for them health-wise. You need a tight end, Nick Boyle in Baltimore. Everybody's hurt in Baltimore. There's going to be volume to go around. And my favorite preseason star, Aldrick Robinson, out in San Francisco. A lot of targets last week with injuries. Probably back again this week.
Jake, you're the man, buddy. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all right.
Jake.
I'm telling you, pay attention. Pay attention to what he says. How about you making the big trade to make it? I'm impressed with that. I like you're making a move.
When you're that bad, you got to do something.
You got to do something.
Unlike the Giants.
Right. At least you're trying to win. You're trying to get it done.
Yeah.
For your fan base, the people that are paying the money to go watch you. You're getting it done for your team. Not Ben McAdoo. Yeah. We're not doing that.
No.
But we're going to take care of the Duke. He's got all the cliches, doesn't he?
Yes.
We got to take care of the Duke. You got men of integrity in that room. How about some men that can catch a little 2-yard pass for a first down?
Well, but it is funny, though. Brandon Marshall had those same drops in clutch situations for the Jets, too, as a player.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. But you got to make those plays. I mean, those are
But he wasn't making them then. What's going to change?
I don't know. Because the passes he's missing are just, they're easy.
He did that as a Jet.
Okay, I hear you.
I know, I'm just saying.
It's just annoying. But I had such expectations of this offense this year. I thought it would be crazy.
Last 2 weeks, they've been good.
Yeah, they have. They've scored over 20 points. That's more than they did. They didn't do that much last year. They've scored enough points. That's true.
And then this year, and that's with leaving stuff on the table.
And let's be honest, with the Giants, you and I just keep going back to this. We have to take a quick break. But I will say this. When the Giants score, they can't stop anybody. When they can't score, they stop everybody. I'm telling you, it's been frustrating.
Just stop the season.
And if the Yankees are over by the end of the weekend, what am I going to watch on television? I'm going to go back watching the Food Network. By the way, I found a great show, Airplane Repo. You ever see that?
No.
Oh, dude. That is a great great television show. Called Airplane Repo.
Can you tell me why I'm grumpy?
When we come back, I'm going to tell you all about that. We'll be right back.
It's all here. The Patriots, the Red Sox, and the Bruins. The Champlain Valley's 101.3 ESPN.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so,
what about you?
You ball? Quiet.
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Bernie. So here, this article came out that says this. Your smartphone is upsetting you. British scientists claim to have pinpointed at least one of the causes of your bad moods, your smartphone. I think we figured this out for
you.
Nearly a third of notifications from your smartphone trigger negative emotions, making you feel more hostile, upset, nervous, afraid, and ashamed than you were before picking up the phone, according to a newly released study from Nottingham Trent University. According to researchers, the main culprits were notifications related to work, as well as those related to phone updates and Wi-Fi availability.
And it goes on to say some other things. So there you go, pal. I think that might be the problem. When I call you midday, maybe you just, you looked at it, and maybe you just had like a really bad, something came up in there, it's just annoying you. Besides me being the one that's annoying you. I'm here for you, man.
I'm not going to disagree with that research.
So maybe what we'll do now is maybe we'll work on that for a couple of weeks. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to ask you after I talk to you, I'm going to be like, hey, what kind of notification did you have in your phone? What were you looking at?
But I get everything on my phone.
No wonder you're always mad. Hey, special shout out to our buddy Tara Sullivan from the Bergen Record. Awesome. What do we got? I will tell him, Dave. I got you. Tara Sullivan today. Great talk about the Yankees. Awesome talk about the Yankees and the Giants. Jake Kent, our fantasy football guru, and Chris Villani from WEEI Talk Sox. If you missed any of those interviews, guys, go to 1013.com today, and those interviews are posted right now. Dave Hunter got the job done.
ESPN.com.
Yeah, what'd I say?
1013.com.
I did?
Yeah.
1013ESPN.com. I did that because you keep breaking my momentum.
No.
You just let me do my show.
He did ask you to remind him.
I told him I wrote it down. Oh. He said he's throwing things in my face. He's going over here. He's doing this, doing that. You're ruining my momentum.
Can we get a replay? Oh, we're past the 30 seconds.
1013ESPN.com. Get all of this. You can get all these interviews, and obviously our show will be up there as well as we podcast all the shows. So, hey, guys, thanks so much for a great show today. Bernie, great work.
Jeff, thank you. So we're on assignment next week.
Yeah, won't be. Dave, Bernie and I won't be here next week as we are on assignment. We'll be off next week, but we will be back the following week bringing you the best. Sports Saturday will be here, though, because Sports Saturday is here every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Will you stick with me next week?
Well, we'll talk about that later on. Right. We're another local sports show on the weekend. We're looking forward to that. All right, guys, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. It's going to be a beautiful day. I think it's going to be like 80 degrees.
It is.
Keep the station here. We've got all your baseball action throughout the weekend starting at 5 today. We got the Cubs in Washington, and tonight we've got Arizona at Los Angeles, and tomorrow Houston and the Sox at 1:30, and the Yanks in Cleveland
and
at 7.
And the baseball.
Have a great weekend.
The hub.